Can you see that from the back, may I ask? Eddie, can you read that?
Can't read it, but I can see it.
All right. We'll share it with you a little bit. It's kind of an interesting thing. I've never before opened or even included anywhere in a sermon a cartoon, but I found this cartoon this week that went along with some things I was thinking about and thought I would go ahead and include that in a lesson. You'll notice how we start today. Most of you have probably seen Dagwood and Blondie as a cartoon. I've been reading them ever since I was a kid. So on Thursday, between jobs, I was reading the paper, and I came across this, and I found it kind of interesting. You can see Dagwood here with his neighbor Herb, and Herb's asking him, "Whatever happened to your idea about moving to a bigger house?" And Dagwood says, "Well, we decided we'd rather stay here." Well, Herb says, "Well, you want to stay close to me, right? I'm a really good neighbor. The reason you're staying here is because of me, right?" And Dagwood says, "Well, it had nothing to do with you. I didn't even think of you." And so when Herb goes inside, his wife says to him, "So, they're staying. That must make you happy, right?" "No, I'm not happy. I'm not happy at all." Cartoons kind of are very interesting in the sense that they show something in a funny way, but also they relate to personal aspects as well, and personal and human nature in many ways. What I'm showing you here, and I'm going to kind of share with you the reason, one word I'll use to show what his neighbor felt. His neighbor, it seems, felt slighted by something that Dagwood had said. Did Dagwood mean to slight him at all? No. But apparently he did, or at least he felt that he did. Herb wanted to be given credit for being a great neighbor. But Dagwood didn't do that at all. Now, I used the word slighted just a moment ago, and I'll use the word slight for a minute. The main way that we typically think of the word slight in our American language, or English language, is small. If I tell you there's a 10% chance of rain, is that the same as saying there's a slight chance of rain? Yeah. But there's another way that the word slight is sometimes used, and I'm going to give you some definitions from online dictionary here. To slight someone is to offend or insult someone. To treat as slight or unimportant. To treat someone with disrespect. To make light of. To treat with disdain or indifference. To slight a guest. To perform or attend to carelessly and inadequately. Don't slight your work. These are some of the ways that the word slight can be used and how it's considered with this. Let me share with you a little bit of background of why I'm showing you this and the way I came to decide to use this topic. You know, over the past few weeks, I've been rolling over some things in my mind about situations in my own life and how to handle them, as well as situations that I know with others and some of their own challenges that they're facing. And what I've been rolling over is the idea of how much do I involve myself and how much do I let things just unfold as they are. There's times to reach out. There's times to try to help when you can. And there's times to let things be. But those are some of the things that I was considering. And earlier this week, I was reading an article. I do follow the Royals and was on reading, and I typically read the Kansas City Star online several mornings a week, not every week, but on occasion. The other day, I was reading an article about a Royals game, and a pitcher was described. There was a phrase, a sentence about a pitcher that kind of stuck home with me. It said this pitcher was described as channeling perceived slights accrued since high school into motivational fuel. Now, if you stop, I'll just stop and use that phrase again. So this pitcher has been channeling perceived slights all the way since high school. So in high school, while he was in high school, some people obviously thought he was going to be pretty good if he made it to the major leagues. But there were others that said, "Oh, you're not going to make it." Along the way, whether it was in college or whether it was in minor leagues, there were times that obviously he was praised, but there were times that he received what he thought of as slights, perceived slights. And so he uses that as motivation for him. Now, I've never really used that in that way, but some people try to take negatives that people say and prove them wrong. And it seems like that's the way he uses that to be able to prove people wrong and also to try to do his best. For whatever reason, that phrase kind of stuck with me. I may have noticed it at the time. Sometimes I'll read an article, and it may or may not strike home to me at the time, but within a couple of hours, something will kind of strike and you'll think, hmm. And the reason this struck to me was some of the things I've been thinking about. And it what it does to me, at least in the situations that I'm thinking about, it had provided a decent insight, a better insight into the situation as it may be. And that is perceived slights. People sometimes perceive things that are said as slights to them. Do you think Herb up here perceived a slight that he had received? Dagwood didn't give him credit for being a good neighbor. So he went from really excited, he could have been excited that Dagwood was staying. If Dagwood would have just given him thrown him a bone, you might say, it would have said something nice about him as a neighbor. But Dagwood said, I wasn't even thinking about you. And so something that really wasn't intended as a slight for Herb, the neighbor, he perceived it as a slight. And so initially I was just thinking about this in relation to this and to some of the situations in life and how to handle them. But I also decided that this is something that could be valuable to develop into a sermon as well. So I'm going to share with you some ideas about this as a sermon as well. And the title, if you will, is How Do You Handle Perceived Slights? Well, the reason why I think this is important. This is a big deal because I think that perceived slights are a major part of life. You may not really perceive a lot of slights in your life, and they may not be as important to you. I may not either. But for a lot of people, they receive perceived slights on a regular basis. And we all need to learn how to deal with the situations. But I think it affects each of us greatly. Some it affects more than others, as we pointed out, but it affects you first in how often and how deeply you may feel slighted. Some people feel slighted often, and some people feel slighted deeply. And you might say in terms of quantity and quality. Secondly, it impacts your life when others feel slighted by something you said or did. Believe it or not, you're going to slight somebody. Somebody is going to feel slighted by something you say or something you do. Maybe this week, maybe not this week, probably this month at some point, you're going to say or do something that somebody is going to feel slighted by. A third area of how this impacts our life is when we may not be involved in the slighting, but yet people may share with us some of their own situations. It may be something that we get involved with in a positive way. It may be something somebody may try to drag us into in a negative way, or we may voluntarily get in a positive or negative way. But the perceived slights there would be by somebody else and with somebody else, but you get brought into the situation as well. The reason some of these are important is because marriage and families are torn apart. Perceived slight. We take something that initially may be small and we dwell upon it and it becomes bigger and bigger. It becomes exaggerated. Some perceived slights are very big from the beginning. Some may start small but continue to grow and anger arises. And so, again, at one job that I worked at for a few years, for a few months during that time, we were asked to keep a timesheet. And so we were asked to kind of, block off in 15-minute intervals, describe how we spent our day. And there were certain choices you had, and, you did this role for the job, and it was kind of an attempt to find out how much time we were spending in each area. You know, the devil doesn't really have a timesheet. But if he had a timesheet that he kept and showed how much time he was spending in various things, I believe he takes perceived slights and builds them up much bigger than they are. And so, that's one aspect of this then. So hopefully we're seeing that there's a reason that's valuable for this area. Let's talk a little bit about what are perceived slights. I talked a moment ago about what slights themselves were. Slights are to offend or insult someone, to treat them as slight or unimportant, to ignore them maybe, to treat with disdain or indifference. A perceived slight, we might say then, is first of all, a slight is when you're acting. The slight is basically the action itself, you could say, and the perceived slight is when you're on the receiving end. It's to feel offended, to feel insulted or treated with disrespect, to feel ignored or treated as unimportant, with disdain or indifference. That's one way you could think of the perceived slight is when you're on the receiving end of it. Another way you could think of it, some may think of this in terms of a real slight or a perceived slight. In this scenario, a real slight is real. It truly was something that was a big enough deal to be a slight and should be taken more seriously. Some may think of a perceived slight as something that you just kind of blow out of proportion. It's imagined. It's manufactured. It shouldn't be taken quite as seriously. That's one way that it could be considered. But in general, what I've talked about, when I'm using the word perceived slight, I'm considering all of them at the moment. Because when something is perceived, all things that are real are also perceived. So a real slight is also a perceived slight, but not everything that's perceived is necessarily real. So there are some slights that wouldn't necessarily be real. But in general, I'm talking about all of these. I'm using that phrase as perceived slights. I would say that right now, I'm not making that distinction, but I would point out later in the lesson, a key point in recognizing is recognizing when we do feel slighted and being able to distinguish between whether it's real, whether it's manufactured, or whether it's exaggerated. We could use those three words for that. Now, so far, I haven't necessarily used a biblical phrase. Do we find the phrase in the Bible about being slighted? What words in the Bible are used to describe this same area, though? The Bible talks about being offended. The Bible talks about sinning, sin when you are sinned against, if you will. I'll just mention a couple of passages. Take, for instance, James chapter 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle his whole body. So, offense, being offended. Proverbs 18:19. I thought about having us turn there, but it's a short verse, but also very powerful. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Now it goes on to say, their contentions are like the bars of a castle. I want to focus for a moment on the first part of that, however. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. So when we talk about these perceived slights, whether they're big or small, whether they're real or manufactured or exaggerated, as they certainly can develop into an offense, finding that a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And of course, the other passage I'll briefly mention relating to forgiveness, Matthew 18, beginning in verse 21, when Peter asked the Lord, "How often shall I forgive when my brother sins against me? Till seven times?" And Jesus, of course, tells him, not seven times, but 70 times seven. So, whether we're talking about being sinned against, we're talking about being offended, I'm using the phrase right now about feeling slighted. I think, in a sense, it brings a little different context, although they are very much related. So, moving into another area of this, I would ask, what is your own experience with feeling slighted? And how often do you feel slighted? You know, there's a lot of different people here and a lot of different personalities. I think I know most of you decently well in the sense that I've known you for 20 years, probably at least, but yet I don't really know the details of your life. But I know in the church, the people in the church are similar to people that you'll meet anywhere. They're going to have different personalities. Some are going to tend to be feeling slighted more often than others. As a matter of fact, some people feel slighted every day. Something's going to happen during their day to feel slighted. I've also experienced that there are people who feel slighted much more than once a day. Some people during the course of a day are going to feel slighted time and time and time again. Every hour, they're probably going to feel slighted about something. And so, as far as your own experience, and hopefully you don't feel that slighted that often, but if that's the case, that's what we're seeing here. There are many reasons and instances where your reaction may be to feel disrespected, mistreated, offended, ignored, whatever it may be. So while some may feel that way at least once a day, others of us may feel it once or twice a week on average. Some of us may feel it once or twice a month on average. But I have a feeling, and I think it would be safe to say, that all of us, sometime during the course of the year, are going to feel slighted at least once. I'll share a little bit about just in my own personal situation, or how I To me, sometimes personal experiences can add value to this. I would say that I feel slighted in some way, and I'm not going to use the word offended necessarily, but there are things that will happen in life that I will feel slighted on occasion. I probably feel slighted a few times a year, maybe up to 12 times a year. But often when I feel slighted, by the next day, it's something that I've probably forgot about it. 90% of the times that I personally may feel slighted, by the time I wake up the next morning, it's not that big of a deal. Almost always within 24 hours, most of it, as I said, at least 90% of it has gone and not really crossed my mind much more again. Probably up to 98 to 99% of the things are going to be passed and not really think of again at all in the next two days to a month or a week. So I mean, usually almost anything that's happened to me within a week, I'm past it. So it's not something that I will dwell on or even think much about after that. Are there a few things that still creep into my mind? Are there things that have been in my life that have been challenges that still come to mind on occasion? Not to mind in terms of a grudge or in terms of anger, but just in terms of disappointment, in terms of frustration. And probably anywhere from two to half of those might relate to my marital situation and my divorce that happened soon after that. In other words, emotional times in life probably create more times that you feel slighted in whatever way it may be. Whether it was during that time itself, with that person involved, or with the after effects and other situations that may arise. So some of these things still do play on my mind sometimes. Again, that doesn't mean that it's a grudge or anger, but not everything always just slides off our back. Things that at one time may have just slid off our back in certain situations, at times we feel a little bit more vulnerable, sensitive, and are challenged to overlook them as easily. And I think all of us probably have some areas where things can come back to our mind and we do think of at times. And it can be that we dwell on them, and maybe more than we should at times. But those are ideas about perceived slights. As we continue on, we're talking about feeling slighted can take on a lot of different forms. And I think the easiest place to start, or maybe whether I say the easiest or maybe the hardest place to start at times, is within the home. Do husbands and wives feel slighted with each other at times? And I don't know about those who have been married. You know, in my own mind, people who have been married 50 years don't really feel slighted too often by each other at this stage of marriage. That may or may not be the case. I don't know. But I have learned by experience and through my experiences in talking to other people that marriage, we know, is not an easy thing. And one of the reasons it's not easy is because husbands sometimes feel slighted by things their wife may say or do, and vice versa. Wives may feel slighted by things their husband may say or do. Most men who have been married and who are married have probably learned the lesson in terms of if their wife tells them or asks them, how does she look in this particular outfit, or something of that nature, they're probably realizing that there's a good way to answer that and a way that they may feel a little slighted if you say certain things. That's just an example. Children, are there ways that we as parents can treat our children to make them feel slighted, and ways that we can treat them in which they don't? Now, naturally, as parents, you're going to have to do things and say things that kids are going to feel slighted at times. But there's also ways that we can handle our family, handle our children, just like our husbands and wives, to have this be much less of an issue. We can be harsh with kids at times. We can not give them credit where credit's due, necessarily. I mean, I don't know why, but this comes to my mind. On Friday, I substituted at a local school. I substituted at Nixa. And while the teacher wasn't there, he had several aides, actually, in his class. And they went ahead and did something that they typically do. I mean, I won't get into the details of what they were doing. But I mean, they were helping. They were really helping him. But for me, I guess in my own experience of life, I've realized how valuable it is and how you can set a tone as a teacher or wherever it is by the way that you say certain things. You can, just like here, hopefully Dagwood learns a lesson in the sense that if Dagwood would have simply told Herb well, I really like you as a neighbor, and not necessarily told him that he didn't even think of him. Dagwood could have handled this differently to where Herb wouldn't have felt slighted. As teachers, as parents, we can handle things certain ways. And the thing is, even though for me, as these students were doing this each hour for that teacher, I mean, I tried to make sure I told them each at least two or three times, thanking them for what they were doing. Now, did it really do me any good that they did it? I mean, it saved the teacher from time. I mean, it was saving the teacher probably at least 3 or 4 hours of work that he would have to do on his own. But as they were doing it for him, he was saving him time. But I, as a teacher, and I, as someone right there in that situation, I had authority over them, if you will, or as a teacher, and wanted to make sure that they felt good about that. And so there are things that we can do to help create an attitude and an atmosphere free of, or at least with reduced, tensions in this area. We've mentioned the children at school. How many times, I mentioned the school situation. I mentioned kind of the atmosphere we can set. But how often, we'll just go student to student. If you're sitting in a classroom of 25 students, how many students do you think in that classroom that day have felt slighted by something that happened? Considering I was at Nixon, again, with 1,500 kids, or 16, or however many is there right now. If you've got 1,600 kids in a room, in a building, things happen regularly that people feel slighted by. I think of Clayton. Clayton works in a place that has, what, over 1,000 employees, right? And as I understand it, you're pretty much the one that's in charge of the situation. Is that right? Do you think people feel slighted there most days for something? There's something that happens. It may not involve you directly, but yet you as a leader there help to set an attitude and an atmosphere that hopefully would promote a lessening of perceived slights, but they're definitely going to happen. In the work situation, if somebody doesn't get a raise, they don't get the promotion they want, they feel slighted. I'm going to move to the church and talk about the elders for a moment. But as I talk about the elders in this situation, again, it applies to all types of leadership positions as well, some of these comments that I'll make. But I'm going to mention, for instance, as far as elders, number one, the great responsibility they have toward the congregation in terms of trying not to slight others, but also the honor they deserve from the congregation, so they do not feel slighted either. Now, having said that, are there things that elders and leaders have to do that people will feel slighted by? Are there choices that have to be made, words that have to be said, actions that have to be committed, that people will feel slighted? And obviously the answer is yes. But at the same time, when a man does become an elder, his words and his action toward members of the congregation take on a greater impact. Things that you may say as an elder will have a greater influence or impact on the group or on an individual than if you were not an elder. But the thing is, as you handle things in a wise and caring way, these feelings of being slighted will also be minimized. Now also, turning it the other way, I had mentioned that, I believe that elders also can feel slighted at times by a lack of appreciation from the congregation, a lack of care for certain things. So we as members of a congregation need to make a deliberate effort to make sure we thank elders for what they do, for the countless hours that they spend preparing for church activities, both publicly and privately, and spending the time they do. Elders need to be honored for that, need to be thanked for that. And that's what I am thanking Dwayne, I am thanking Bob for these things. And may we all do that. During the two-week meeting, I wasn't at the two-week meeting this year in Des Moines, but I did see one lesson, partly at least, most of the lesson online, a lesson given by Rick Sparks this year regarding having an attitude of gratitude. And Rick spent, I don't know how long, maybe about 5 minutes talking about elders. And again, along the idea of having an attitude of gratitude. Some of the points he made was in terms of why someone would be an elder. He said, at least what I'm remembering, there are two main reasons why someone would choose to be an elder. Number one, they perceive that to be a position of power, and so they want to take that so they can have some power. Or number two, they have a great love for the Lord, a great love for the church, a great love for the people of the Lord, and for serving Him. I believe the vast majority of elders who I know, and I believe Dwayne and Bob fall in this category, that the reason that they, I'm not trying to put words in their mouth, but the second category is why we're talking about people like Dwayne and Bob who have chosen to be elders as well. Chosen while also, of course, being agreed to of the congregation and appointed to the position. But because of their love for the Lord and the love for each of us as His body, for His church, for His people, and for serving. That's why they've taken that role. Otherwise, there are a lot of headaches that are involved with being an elder, and one of them is because of the slights that people feel along the way. And it's possible, and I would imagine that at times they feel slighted by certain things that happen too, and so we need to make sure that we honor and thank them for that. So these are some of the ideas that we have in terms of being slighted or feeling that. Here's what I'd like to do. I've got a few more minutes that I'll take here. Don't have a lot more time, but I want to try to convey about two or three or four points that in a sense summarize what I've said, but there's also some points that I haven't even really made yet. But these are points that I want to make sure we come away from this lesson with. Number one, every single one of us will be slighted sometimes, and we will slight others. So hopefully we don't get extremely worked up by certain things, because the more we get worked up, we've got to remember that we probably created the same feeling in somebody else at some time. Every single one of us will feel slighted and will cause others to. Number two, I think it's very important that we take a responsibility toward others who have or do feel slighted. Number one, we take heed to avoid or reduce causing these slights in the beginning. In other words, I'm going to try to make sure that I do not slight other people. Yes, there's going to be times and things that I need to say that people will be slighted by, but in general, I need to take responsibility toward them. I need to take heed to avoid and reduce causing this as much as I can. But also take it seriously and be concerned with people. Times that you may have created that hurt in others, or also in times that you may not have created it, but also that you can help to reduce that. But again, all of that is within reason. But take seriously your role, the way you can help reduce these things. And the number three area is you when you feel slighted. Number one, we need to be realistic. I'll break those three apart that I mentioned a moment ago. I believe that there are real slights, there are manufactured slights, and there are exaggerated slights. I'm not going to sit here and try to define them. I will never try to tell you how you have been slighted and how you should feel. One of the things that I believe is important, how you feel and how you react is up to you. I may say things to encourage you to think about it, but it's going to be you that ultimately decides it. But if you're slighted 10 times a day, several days, many days, you're probably being slighted too much. Some of those may be real slights. Some of those may be manufactured. But also there is the idea of exaggeration. Did I say earlier that the devil is working overtime to try to take these slights that you do feel, and maybe legitimately, but he tries to work overtime to make them bigger than they really are. And so my encouragement for all of us, and the message that I want to communicate, and what I want you to take away in terms of this, is to really consider your own life. Consider times that you feel slighted, but to do all you can to not allow them to become bigger and bigger. To do all you can to allow them to, hopefully, the next day or within a week, to have been something that is behind you, but also to be able to take the things that do really bother you and learn how to handle them. There's many things that could be discussed in this lesson. Obviously, I'll just mention a couple of brief words and ideas in relation to this, but obviously forgiveness. We need to have a spirit of forgiveness. We've got a spirit of perseverance. Perseverance is true, but patience is the word I was looking for in this case. But being long-suffering, being patient, being forgiving, all of these are ways that we handle this as well. So, in our lesson this morning, we've had the opportunity to talk about slights, perceived slights, offenses, sin, whatever you may choose to call it. However often you may feel this way, hopefully we learn to manage it. We learn to allow them to be reduced. We do our part to help others continue to reach out to share the Lord's message. And especially when others do feel slighted, to do what we can to bring them back again. We draw this lesson to a close at this point, offering the gospel invitation for those who are here this morning and have never named Christ. We invite you to become a part of His family by being immersed in the waters of baptism, having your sins washed away, naming Christ as your Savior and the Son of God. Or if you have any other things to bring before us, please come as we stand and sing. Number 500.